Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver of Avery Wealth Management. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. On today's show, we want to answer your toughest financial questions. So grab a pencil and maybe a mug. Here in mid-Michigan with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver of Avery Wealth. Wherever you are in mid-Michigan, if you're in Jackson or someplace else, thanks for listening to the show today. I'm Ron Stutz. I get a chance to host this hour with these guys. Dan, Brent, always good to be with you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here, Ron.
Yeah, Ron, excited for the show.
We have some really interesting stuff to talk about today that's really going to help you just by listening to the show, but certainly we would love for you to come in and have a conversation with Dan and Brent at some point. We'll tell you how to do that later on, but first, let me tell you about a special offer. If you've been listening to the show, you know about this. Text the word PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888, the word PREP to 555-888, and Dan and Brent will send you the most common retirement mistakes and how to avoid them. That's a comprehensive guide. They'll send it to you in the mail. It's important to get ready in the proper way for your retirement. And the team at Avery Wealth wants to help you with that mission. Again, just text the word PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888. Click on the link that they'll text back to you. Put in your information and you'll be on your way. You'll get the guide in the mail. So we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. But today, let's talk about giving the people what they want, except when they're wrong. I know that you guys, you guys always try to give people what they want, right?
Well, yeah, most of the time.
Yeah. Well, in the retail world, the old saying is that the customer is always right. But when it comes to financial planning, it's probably not wise to bank on that. What's the point of having a financial coach if your advice is better than your coach's advice? I know that once in a while you have people come in who feel like they know everything and they don't really need your help, and you're saying to yourself, well, gee, why did you come in? But let's talk about some statements that you might hear from clients that might require you to push back a little bit, because the customer isn't always right. If someone says to you, Brent, Dan, now's the time to get out of the market, or maybe they say the opposite, now is the time to get into the market, what do you say to them?
I love that anyway. Yeah. This is the time. Yes, I don't know how that all comes about. But, you know, it's interesting, this whole concept of, you know, talking about giving the people what they want. I think about, you know, I get golf lessons once in a while, and I just think about the guy that gives them to me in Jackson's really well known and a great, great teacher. But I always think about, what if I went in there and started telling them what I needed to do, like, as opposed to just keeping my mouth shut and listening? You know, I mean, he's taught the golf swing for years and knows everything about it. But, you know, I can't imagine.
You might know more.
Maybe. But, you know, like, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. And one of the things that's funny about the market itself is that it's so emotional. People watch this stuff. It's on TV all the time. It's on the internet all the time. People are watching it go up, watching it go down. And I find that they get really emotionally invested as to what is happening right now. And when you think about this stuff, it's kind of dumb, because you can look at a long-term chart. You know, you can look at them, like, they have them all over the place. We get them all the time. And you can see that if you're a really good investor and you stay disciplined and you have good structure over long periods of time, you pretty much always do well, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
when you stretch it out over a long period of time.
Yeah, but what do we never focus on that ever, right? We always focus on what's happening today or this week or this month.
Fear takes over.
Yep, or the greed on the other side. So either one of those things end up making you think, oh, now I want to put more money in the market. Look at it go up. The problem is it already went up.
Right.
You know, nobody knows tomorrow. A great example is this year. January was fantastic, right? Great month in the market. What happened in February, Brent?
Not so good. Not the same result as January or last year. We had a great run for a while, and then people start getting nervous when there's a little blip in the radar.
Yeah, but the point being is that if you're looking at those, you know, what's happening today, those choices that you make probably are not in your best interest. And so that goes back to, if you have a good relationship with an advisor, you know, they're going to help you to build a plan where you can stay disciplined and structured over a long time, not sit there and say, oh, it's time to get in, it's time to get out. That's not going to get you where you want to be in hardly any circumstance. So I think that's a main focus on that one, Ron.
Okay, another customer comes in and says, this is what I want to invest in, guys. I just need you to pick the exact funds for me. I mean, again, that's a case of this person telling you what they need to do.
Yeah, I think there's two parts to this that are really interesting for me, Ron. And one is, you know, just picking out a certain part of the market. So what this might mean is, you know, for those of you that aren't clear on this, maybe you want to pick the U.S. large companies or small companies or value companies or international companies, or maybe some people might want to just pick like a certain sector of the market. So maybe it's financial businesses or healthcare or energy. Who knows what that might be? And, you know, you definitely want to have certain pieces in your portfolio. And what do we know that we want those to do, Dan? We want them to...
We want dissimilar price movements.
That's right.
My favorite term
that's
on the
right.
show.
That's right. And we also want those to give whatever that part of the market gives. So if you're invested in U.S. large as a part of your portfolio, you want to make sure that that piece of the pie gets what the market gave in that case. And then the second part of it is just, you know, you want to make sure that you are well diversified and that you're not just picking one small piece. We had a call. I love this call because, and Dan and I talk about it quite a bit with our clients and things like that. This was back in 2014. It was actually October of 2014. We had a call from, we'll call him Joe, and oil was at about $80 a barrel at this point.
Seems expensive right now.
Yeah, it does seem expensive right now. That's the whole point here. And what happened is it was down from, it was close to $160 a barrel, like in 2008 area. So it had dropped. I mean, that's half.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was, and so I remember the comment that Joe made was, this can't miss, right?
Yeah.
This cannot miss. And really, you know, I'm looking at it with, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I mean, that might be a good time. I don't know. It might be a good time to buy into oil. Who knows? But, you know, we had the conversation of being well-diversified and structured and disciplined and all those types of points that we make. Well, what's really interesting is I'll go back and look at that every once in a while. And after that call, it went all the way down. It was below...
I think it got down to 28, maybe?
Yeah, 20, something like that. It was under 30,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And it's never gotten back to 80. Not one time since that phone call. And it's currently at about $65, just under $65 a barrel. And I think it's really, really interesting because when you start just taking one little piece, you might think this is the opportunity of a lifetime, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to pan out. And who knows, right? I mean, this is the interesting point. It might go to 160 again, mm-hmm, right? And at that point, it would be a good investment. But do you think that you would be able to stay with it if you had paid 80 for it and it got all the way down to 30? You probably would have sold it and lost.
Yep.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
It's just a really interesting point.
Okay, here's another question for you. Someone says, no, I don't really need to spend the money on blank. Now, that blank could be anything, a will, trust, life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care coverage, whatever it is. They're telling you that they don't need to spend the money in this particular product or this particular thing. What's your response?
You know, I kind of agree. I'm a great driver. You know, I don't need auto insurance, Ron. What the heck?
Oh, no.
You know, the point being...
I knocked on wood for you.
Yeah, right, right.
No, I don't want to be on the road with you either.
Yeah, yeah. The point is, you know, honestly, when you think about this stuff, that's one of the things that's so difficult about managing your financial resources, because some of the things that we have to spend money on aren't very enjoyable. Right. And many times you may never see a benefit from it. You know, you look at, yeah, you need to have disability insurance because guess what? You could become disabled and be in a really bad spot. You hope you never have to use it, but the expense right. of it is kind of hurting. It's painful sometimes, you know, as you do that. And, you know, Brent and I talk about a lot of times like good estate planning. Well, you got to pay a good attorney to do these things, especially if you have a complicated situation and you're probably not going to benefit much from that, right? It's going to be other people that do so. But they're necessary in order to create a really rock solid plan. When you don't do those things, oftentimes there's a lot of pain and for somebody down the road. And so you have to take those into consideration. And so when Brent and I do planning, you know, those are the things we make sure we talk about when we get to the advanced planning area, all these other areas that are so important to your long-term success. And, you know, one of the things Brent and I always say is that sometimes the things we don't do end up hurting us much more than the things that we do.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know that you guys specialize in long-term planning and doing excellent planning for folks on a long-term basis here on the Retirement Cafe and at Avery Wealth. And some folks, I know this must be frustrating when you hear this. If some person says, my accounts are down right now, I don't think this plan is working. I mean, what do you say to that?
I would say, Brent, sometimes if your account's never down, is your plan working?
Probably not.
We could rephrase that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is, hey, Madoff, their accounts never went down.
That's right.
Didn't work very well. I mean, unfortunately, Ron, that's part of life. And Brent and I talk about all the time that if you're doing a really good job creating a long-term structured plan with your investments and everything working together, you're going to have some volatility. You're going to have some ups and downs with your investments. And, you know, it's like Murphy's Law. As soon as you put together a new plan, you know, we joke around with people, now it's going to go down, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works, right? You get everything set and, you know, of course, that doesn't always happen. But the point being is that understanding that's part of the deal. Now, what's really more important is that you understand what's normal, how much they should be going up and down for the level of risk you're at. And as long as it's within those parameters, you know that your plan is actually working. It's not failing. It's actually doing exactly what it's supposed to do. The challenge is most people don't really understand what normal is. And that's why Brent and I talk so often about how important it is to get a second opinion. You know, we offer a second opinion process, and there's a lot of advisors out there that do. But the key is really, from our perspective, is really understanding where you are today, where you want to be, and any gaps that are involved. And one of the big gaps we see so frequently is around their investment portfolios, right, Brent?
Yeah.
Where you see, you know, they don't really understand these numbers.
Yeah, maybe they have too much risk or maybe not enough in some cases.
And then, or they're not optimized, meaning they're not getting the returns that they should for the level of risk that they're taking. So we highly encourage you, you know, if you've been a good saver, you're getting that situation where mistakes are really amplified, you know, give us a call and just request that second opinion visit, and we'll sit down with you and help you work through those issues.
If you're looking for a second opinion with your investments and your retirement planning, call 517-759-5027. That is 517-759-5027. That'll put you in touch with the certified financial planners at Avery Wealth in Jackson. And we're talking about Dan Reese and Brent Oliver here. They've been doing this for a very long time. They've helped so many individuals and couples and families and would love to help you. A no obligation get together is what we're talking about here. No cost. 517-759-5027. Why not reach out to that number right now and make it happen? We'll have more coming up on today's edition of the Retirement Cafe with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver of Avery Wealth right after this.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe. We're always ready to serve you with our piping hot financial takes. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Retirement Cafe, the radio show that helps you get ready for retirement. And of course, Dan Reese and Brent Oliver of Avery Wealth are the stars of this show every single week. I'm just hanging out here for an hour with them. And if you would like to get the most common retirement mistakes and how to avoid them, the comprehensive guide, if you'd like to get it in the mail, all you have to do is text the word PREP to 555-888. That's PREP, 555-888, and Dan and Brent will send you that comprehensive guide in the mail. It's essential to prepare properly for retirement, and the team at Avery Wealth will help you with that mission. That's what they do all the time. They help so many individuals and couples and families all over the area here. Text the word PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888. Then click on the link that they will text back to you, put in your information, and they will mail the guide right away. PREP, P-R-E-P, 555-888. Let's talk about houses. This one's on the house. We can say this segment of our conversation today. We always get a lot of questions on this show about how the house or houses fit into retirement plans. So maybe you guys can address some of the more popular questions and topics here. I know that you have people ask you all the time, pay off the house as soon as possible or enjoy the low interest rate and pay it off slowly. Where do you stand, Dan and Brent, on this particular debate?
Ron, we do hear this question all the time. I mean, this is a really common one. And I think Dan and I would both agree. We talk about this quite a bit with clients that, hey, we want you to be debt-free in retirement. So if you're going into retirement and you can be debt-free, that's the best case scenario, right? And so we would love for you to be able to pay off your house, but this is important.
Here comes a disclaimer.
That's right. This is the disclaimer. It cannot be at the detriment to some of your goals. And so we talk a lot about that on this show, is making sure that you're that you're filling the gaps, right? And so maybe a gap is that you do have some debt in retirement, and maybe we can't fix that, and maybe that's okay. And so what I'm getting at is that if you're going to deplete your cash reserves to pay off your house, or if it's going to prevent you from saving enough to achieve what you need to achieve to be successful in retirement, then that's definitely not the way to go. And as a matter of fact, we've had several clients, I would say, over the last few years that have been in spots where maybe they have 10 or 15 or 20 years remaining on their mortgage, and they have a pretty high payment, monthly payment. Well, what do we know about retirement, Dan? What's
it's all about cash flow.
It's all about cash flows, right? And so if you can reduce how much you're paying out, so if you have 10 or 15 or 20 years and you're paying a pretty big mortgage payment, if you can extend that out to 30 years, what we found is in a lot of cases, that might be the best thing to do. So it's not ideal, but it's a really good way to help them get to what's going to make their retirement successful.
Yeah. And I think just to comment on that as well is that that's why it's so important, and especially your early 50s when it's kind of the red zone, if you will, of retirement planning. You have to be really careful if you start putting too many of your resources towards one thing.
Right.
Like you don't have that balance, because we have seen people come in getting really close to retirement and they're excited because they're debt free. But on the flip side, they haven't saved very much money.
Right.
And so, you know, that's not ideal either. So you really have to have balance across those different things of paying down debt and kind of, you know, creating your savings plan.
This segment of our conversation is called It's on the House. And we talked about whether to sell or to hang on to your house or whatever the case may be. But I know that you get this question a lot as well. Is it wise to downsize to a smaller home when you retire?
Yeah, I mean, we get that question because if you look at research across retirees in the United States, that is a huge asset for them, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That's outside of retirement accounts, sometimes even bigger than retirement accounts. So people put a lot of effort into thinking about those things. And what Brent and I always go through when we look at the housing that someone lives in as they ask these questions is the first thing is really understanding, you know, what's your values? What are your values? Is it really around your family? Because we have a lot of clients, because today kids go away to college and then oftentimes they end up moving to all different parts of the country. And so when they come back to visit, a lot of our clients love the fact that they have a big enough house that their kids can stay with them, and the, maybe the grandkids at that point can stay with them. So when you start thinking about what's important to you and where you put your resources, that might be a really, really big deal.
Right.
So if that's the case, obviously you want to see if it's reasonable for you to keep that bigger home in retirement from a financial standpoint. But if you just look at it strictly financially, a lot of times it can make some sense to downsize, right? Because one of the things that happens, the bigger the house you have, the more what? The more your utilities are.
Yeah, and maintenance. Just, hey, you got to mow the lawn even, right?
Yeah, I mean, you might have a big yard. If you have to put a new roof on the house, there's all kinds of things that the bigger it is, the more it costs. And so oftentimes, if you look and say, hey, if we could downsize that home a little bit, you might be able to save some substantial cash flow. And you also might not need as many people to come help you with things because it is a little easier to manage. And the other thing that we even talked about last week a little bit on the show is you have to look at the living arrangements in that home. So as people age, oftentimes it's not as easy to get around. And so does your current home have multiple floors? Is your laundry room on a different, you know, like the basement, in the basement or something like that? Are the doors big enough that if you needed to have a walker or a wheelchair, can you get in and out of bathrooms and bedrooms and things like that? So there are a lot of things you have to really think about when it comes to choosing your home in retirement. Hopefully that gives you some things to consider.
This part of our show today is called On the House, and you're listening to the Retirement Cafe. We appreciate your being with us today. Dan Reese and Brent Oliver of Avery Wealth, and we're talking about all things house-related. Another question for you here is, this gets into a whole different area, is rental property a good idea for creating income in retirement? I know that you guys have that conversation a lot with some of your clients.
Yeah, we do, Ron, and rental properties can be a tremendous source of income. I mean, we've seen it quite a bit, haven't we, Dan?
Oh, the numbers. I mean, the amount of cash flow you can get out of a good rental property is tough to beat.
Yeah, but what we also know about that is that it requires a lot of work in some cases, in most cases probably. And you need to have a lot of knowledge in that area to make sure that you're making good decisions. And we've helped quite a few families that have had rental properties for a long time. And really, honestly, it'd be very, very difficult for them to find another investment that would give them the type of income that they're able to get off of those. But they have a lot of experience. You know, these families maybe have had rentals their whole working career. And so they know what to do, and they've got a long-term success at doing this. And so if you're entering retirement and you don't really have any experience in this area, it's probably not going to be your best, because there's risk involved, especially if you're taking a large portion of what you've saved your whole life and investing into that. If you don't have a lot of experience, you're putting yourself out there really with not a certain outcome.
Yeah, I mean, you think about our clients that have had those a long time. One of the advantages is they're paid for.
Yeah.
Like they've used the rent through the years to kind of pay those off. While they were working, they kind of reinvested their profits, in essence, back into those. And the experience is huge, but also their risk has kind of gone away.
Right.
Because the nice thing, by the time they get there, if they don't want to do it anymore, they could just sell them.
Right.
Right? And it's like, hey, I'm moving on, and I don't want to deal with that anymore because I already own them. It's all profit at that point. And really, the only big issue that comes then is how much they have in gains.
Right.
Because, you know, if you've had those a long time, you've probably depreciated them some, and that can be a little bit of tax issue. So sometimes that takes some advanced planning on how to manage those taxes.
Okay, another area of conversation here in our On the House segment here. What complications, if any, have you seen with handling real estate when it comes to estate and legacy plans? I know that can get quite complicated.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And I mean, the thing with real estate that's tough, and I think the number one thing, is how liquid it is. And oftentimes, you know, we saw in 2008, you know, people would ask, we'd ask some questions as we're going through different fact finders with clients, you know, what's your house worth? And they'd all laugh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it's worth today. You know, last year it was worth $200,000. I don't know what it is now. But that's one of the realities with real estate. You know, people used to always think, oh, it's super stable. It really always grows in value. It never goes down. But that's not really true. You know, you can run into times where it's very difficult to sell certain properties. And if you do, sometimes you have to take a pretty big hit on them. But the other things that come up with real estate that we see is that a lot of times, let's take the example where you have three or four children and mom and dad pass away, and it's a family home that's been in the family for years. Oftentimes, you may get one or more of the kids that want that house because it's really important to them. Like, they have all their memories there. It's a really big emotional attachment. And you have others that are like, no, we need to sell it. And you get this, you know, kind of infighting on how to handle this home. And if you haven't really done a good job of dealing with that in your estate plan, that can create a lot of problems. I mean, we've seen clients really go to the point where they lay out very strict rules that says, hey, after we're gone, you have whatever it is, 6 months or 9 months to sell that property. If anybody wants to buy it that's in the family, they'll go through the normal channels to purchase that. But we're not going to deal with trying to fight about who gets it and everything else within the estate plan. So that can be a pretty big issue. And then second thing is, when we see a families with a lot of real estate assets, which can be really valuable, cash flow can become an issue when somebody passes away. So all of a sudden, you've still got the property taxes, the insurance, the maintenance, the upkeep, all those things happening on the property, but yet the income's gone. Right. You know, the person's not there anymore. And if you don't have substantial assets to kind of support those things, what do we see happen? They got to sell them at
fire sale.
Yeah.
You just got to get rid of it, and you don't get anywhere near what it's really worth. Unfortunately, we see that all the time.
Yeah, I've got a real good friend in town that's a realtor, and he always tells me that. He says, you know, said one of the, if you ever want a great deal on a house, look for the estate sales, because so many times they just want to get rid of it. Like, they don't even, you know, they're not patient at all. There's money issues and everything else. And he said, you can bid some really low price and they'll take it because they just want to sell the house.
Just want to get out from under it, I guess. And another thing that you guys kind of touched on a moment ago is, when you're dealing with an estate and everything, it is amazing how greedy some people can get when it comes to anything having to do with money. And you got all these arguments, and family members come to hate each other and all that kind of thing. And I know that your clients never do that, right?
Well, believe it or not, we do spend a lot of time talking to our clients about those things, because a well-thought-out plan is really important. And I just want to mention, too, out there, everybody listening to the show, go to the website, retiringradio.com, and sign up. If you go down to the bottom, you can sign up for our basically weekly emails that we send out. But the reason I bring that up right now, we're going to start doing some webinars probably every other week. And with those webinars, one of them we're going to do is specifically on this topic. We've got a really great, basically, webinar presentation that goes through the things you really need to be thinking about and some exercises you can go through to really help put your family in a much better position so everybody's on the same page when something happens to you.
I would imagine. I know that there are some folks out there who are going to make a phone call to you or perhaps send a text to you to get in touch at Avery Wealth. And what do you have to offer those folks who reach out today?
Yeah, first of all, like we were talking about earlier, if you haven't got the retirement mistakes, the common retirement mistakes and how to avoid them report, I highly recommend you just text the word PREP to 555-888. That's PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888. And the one thing I want to mention on that is that what that does get you, it's in our mailing list, and we're old school. We actually mail stuff out in the regular mail that we find is beneficial to our clients and people interested in what we do. And so as an example, this month we're mailing out our annual tax reference sheet that is a big hit every year. It goes through all the different taxes information, especially with the new updates that we've had. You know, talks about Medicare premiums. There's a lot of great information on it. So once you get on that list by texting the word PREP to 555-888, you'll get something every, you know, month or two that we think is really valuable that will help you with your overall retirement planning.
517-759-5027 is your number to call if you'd like to reach out to Avery Wealth. Again, that number is 1-517-759-5027. Dan Reese and Brent Oliver on the radio on this show, The Retirement Cafe, every week. They are, of course, certified financial planners at Avery Wealth, serving all of mid-Michigan from their office in Jackson. And again, that number is 517-759-5027. Stay with us. There's more coming up on today's edition of The Retirement Cafe.
Ever have a favorite coffee shop? You know, the one you always visit? We want to be your regular joint for financial planning. Keep listening to The Retirement Cafe.
Welcome back to The Retirement Cafe. Ron Stutz here along with Brent Oliver and Dan Reese at Avery Wealth, your certified financial planners. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Text the word PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888. Dan and Brent will send you the most common retirement mistakes and how to avoid them. That's a comprehensive guide you'll get in the mail just for texting that word PREP to 555-888. We talk about this all the time. It really is a good guide to help you prepare properly for retirement. The team at Avery Wealth will help, of course. Text the word PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888. Then click on the link that they will text back to you. Put in your information and you'll be on your way. You'll get it soon. On today's show, lots of interesting topics. Let's talk about obsolete retirement planning. Some people are out of date with the way they think about things and the way they do things. And just like your, I don't know where you guys stand on this whole Apple thing where they were found to have been creating, let's say, problems with people's iPhones just to make them expire more quickly. So I guess you could have to go out and buy a new iPhone. But
Ron, no company would ever do something like that.
Oh, no, never. Just like your iPhone or your computer can become outdated and they may need to be replaced or at least fixed, the way that some people think about retirement is obsolete and needs to be replaced altogether. So I thought maybe we could talk about some outdated rules that people still cling to. And the first one that comes to mind is the 4% rule. First of all, what is that and why is it so outdated?
Yeah, I mean, the 4% rule is been around for a long time. You hear a lot of people talk about it. And generally, the idea is that let's take a really simple example. Let's say you got to retirement and you had $1 million in your overall portfolio across all your different accounts. The idea is that you could take out 4% of that in year one, so $40,000. And then each year, you could increase that basically by inflation. So let's say 2% to 3% each year and never run out of money, right? So that's that concept behind it. And like a lot of things and a lot of general rules that you hear, you know, Brent and I kind of, we don't love them, put it that way, because we feel like it really creates kind of some laziness and from a planning standpoint, because people will see that and go, oh, I'm all set, I have this and I have that. The reality is that there's been a lot of changes in markets since some of these rules were created. And obviously, I think a lot of people know this one is that, you know, bond rates, like the rate, the dividend or the interest rate they pay in cash account rates are really low right now, right? And so if you look at a typical retiree investor, you're going to find that most are pretty moderate with their investment allocation. When we say moderate, that means they would have anywhere from, you know, 40 to 60% in, say, stocks, you know, or fixed income, depending on their allocation. And what that means is that if you've got, say, half, let's take a simple example where you have 50% in safe money like bonds and cash, 50% in stock, right? And if you look at that and all of a sudden you realize half of my money is not getting much of a return, you could see where that 4% rule might not work very well. Because now you're dependent on the stock side of it getting a really consistent high return in order to fulfill that each year. And the other thing I just want to mention on that 4% rule, you know, Brent and I, of course, do this cash flow planning every day. And one of the things that we see consistently is if you've got a really good plan, you don't have consistent withdrawals throughout retirement. What a lot of times you'll have is you might have higher withdrawals early on for just a few years. And then if you structure your Social Security, if you have pensions, all those other things right, those kick in a few years after retirement at a much higher payout rate because you were patient and you waited, which means that you don't have to pull as much out of your portfolio for the remainder of your retirement. And what that does, it takes away a lot of the stress with worrying about things like the 4% rule. So as you do your planning, keep in mind a good plan probably will not involve taking out the same amount every year throughout your retirement.
Well, it covers the 4% rule, but there is also something called the 10-5-3 rule. Explain that, if you would, and why that's outdated.
Well, when I say this, I think you're going to, everyone who's listening, who's been keeping up with returns and things is going to really realize why this is outdated. But this rule basically says that you can expect 10% returns from stocks, 5% from bonds, and, excuse me, I can't even say this one out loud, Dan, 3% for cash.
3% for cash.
Wow.
Was it 0.3 or was it 3?
I don't even know if that's possible.
Right.
Right? You know, so this rule, obviously, you can see this is not an updated rule. I looked at this a little bit when we were preparing for the show, and, you know, I think what's really, really important to think about with this is that stocks, that might be a fairly reasonable expectation, 10% over a long period of time. But it really depends on what your long period of time is. So I went back 50 years for the S&P 500, and that's at about 10.1%. That's pretty close to right on the rule,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And if you go back, I'm going to make it a shorter period of time, the last 10 years, it's 9.5. That's not too far off. It's below. But what if you go somewhere in between there? If you go 20 years, that return is 7.4%.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's a big difference between, and so some people are retired for 20 years, right? That might be your whole retirement. You're planning on 10%, you got 7.4 out of the stocks. That's obviously not going to work out. And then if you kind of go back and cherry pick some of the numbers, Dan and I talk to clients about this quite a bit. From the period of time from 2000 to the end of 2009, so a 10-year period, the S&P 500 averaged, drum roll, -0.6%. That's the average. Ouch. -0.6%. So you really can't rely on that 10% rule, right? And we know that to be the case with bonds, as Dan was just talking about. In cash, we all know it's not paying anywhere near 3% right now, right? I mean, you look at your bank statement and you got 1 cent of interest on your $20,000 or $30,000 you have in there, right? That's probably not 3%. And so it's really this rule just is nowhere near gonna work for someone who's trying to do a long term plan.
Yeah. What's interesting is just to kind of tie that together with the 4% rule, we've done this many times, but you take a spreadsheet and you put in a 4% withdrawal rate with those S&P returns for those 10 years, 2000 to 2009, you don't want to see the results.
Right, because you're broke, right?
Yeah, you're broke.
You're absolutely broke. And so, you know, that's why it's so important when you're doing retirement planning that you're using realistic numbers, and not only realistic, but I would say extremely conservative.
Yep.
Because you know, if you put all this together with your income plan and your investment plan, and you have really, really conservative numbers and it works, then guess what? If you have a better return over that long period of time, your whole retirement, you're just going to be in a lot better shape. So use conservative numbers. Don't use this 10-5-3 rule, Ron. That's my advice.
You're listening to Dan Reese and Brent Oliver at Avery Wealth, and these guys are never outdated in their thinking because they're always on top of all the latest trends and everything else, and you can get up-to-date information from them anytime. This is the Retirement Cafe, and as someone mentioned a moment ago, you can check them out on the web at retiringradio.com. And coming up in a few minutes, we'll give you that number to text the word PREP to get that comprehensive guide in the mail, and also give you a phone number so you can call and arrange a visit to their office at Avery Wealth in Jackson. We're talking about obsolete retirement planning, and a lot of people use outdated rules of thumb when it comes to thinking about retirement. There's kind of a general feeling out there among a lot of people that you should just automatically move from stocks to bonds as you get older. Now, why is that outdated?
Well, first of all, I want to comment on where it came from, because it used to be a great system. So if you think about years ago, I mean, people didn't live as long. You know, if you look at the average life expectancy, once you retired, may have been 10 years, right? And that might have been, that's actually probably a little long. And so it was kind of a nice way to do it. Number one, you'd accumulate with stocks. And as you got to retirement, you'd kind of flip that stuff over to bonds. And what was great is that at that time, bonds, number one, were paying a really nice return. The 5% was easily reached, you know, that 5% rule we were talking about a minute ago. And so you could preserve what you had, get a decent return, never ever worry about running out of money, and basically have almost no stress, because it was all taken care of. Now, what has changed since then? Well, number one, the biggest thing is we live a lot longer, right? So instead of living just a few years, we're living out, you know, maybe 20, 30 years in retirement. The other thing, like we just talked about, the bond rates are not paying the same return as they used to pay. And so when you put all that stuff together, you really have to take a good look at if that makes sense for you. And what we find, and there's this thing that Professor Markowitz created, he got a Nobel Prize for it years ago, and he calls it the efficient frontier. And all that is it's a fancy chart that shows you, for whatever level of risk that you're taking with your portfolio, you should achieve some level of return. And what he found, which was really interesting, is that if you take a 100% bond portfolio and you compare it to a 50% bond, 50% stock portfolio, they actually have the same risk. And it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it, Brent, when you look at that? But the one that has 50% stock, 50% bond has a much higher expected return, right?
Right.
So if you're going to live a long time, which hopefully everybody out there listening is going to, and you want to make sure that you can consistently keep pace with inflation and grow your portfolio to take in effect your withdrawals that you're going to be taking, that's probably a lot better way to approach it.
There's another obsolete way of thinking among some people, that you get to the point of having $1 million, like that's a magic number or something. You get $1 million in your retirement accounts and you're ready to retire. And first of all, I don't know why people started thinking that.
Well, I think they thought that because, I mean, I think most people think $1 million is a lot of money. And it is a lot of money, and it's great. It's a great success story when you get to $1 million, because it's taken a lot of hard work to save that money. But that doesn't mean that you're ready to retire. We talked about this. Dan, I think, talked about it last week on the show, the commercials that, you know, what's your number? And apparently everybody's number is $1 million, because we've heard this a lot.
That's the most common number, right? you'll hear.
Right. But really what those commercials should be is, what are your numbers? Not number. What are your numbers? And so it's not just what you've saved when it comes to whether or not you can retire, but it's really what you need in your what level of income you're going to need in retirement, and then how you're going to get that. So whether or not it's, you have obviously Social Security, some people have pensions, we talked about rental income, maybe you have rental income, and then whatever's left over, how much extra you need to take out of your portfolio, as Dan was just talking about, that's really where it's at. And so you need to make sure that you understand all those things. And it's just not about reaching a certain number, it's making sure that you're going to have the income coming in retirement to make sure that you can live the way that you want to live.
I'm sure that there are lots of people out there listening to the show today who feel that they will need far less income in retirement than they needed while they were in the workplace, and that certainly is not necessarily the case.
Yeah, well, you could do that if you want, right? I mean, if you have a lot less income, maybe you just decide, I'm going to stay home every day and not do a lot. But everybody we work with has a lot of more ambition than that in retirement. They have a list of things they want to do, whether it be travel or golf or whatever it might be that they want to take part in retirement. And so we talked about this last week on the show. throw out what you make right now. Let's, you know, we always recommend let's start from scratch and let's build out a retirement spending plan that really is going to help you achieve all that's important to you. So, you know, obviously you start with the basics, like what does it cost for me to heat my house and buy food and, you know, insurance and gasoline and all those types of things. And then get into the stuff that you want to do. You know, what's a reasonable travel budget? You know, let's say, hey, oh, I want to have $10,000 a year to be able to go travel to different places. I want to set aside money because I want to golf a lot more. And we all know that stuff can add up. Shoot, just the golf balls that Brent and I lose. I mean, that alone would be a substantial increase in cost there. But, you know, you have to think through all those things and really develop a spending plan that's going to make you feel good about your retirement years. The other thing that we talk about a lot is healthcare and having that healthcare spending plan. And, you know, many times if you're going to retire before 65, you could have a substantial increase in healthcare premiums up until Medicare, where a lot of times you get some relief at that point. So when you put it all together, you know, thinking you just automatically are going to need less money, we kind of think of that as a little bit of a cop-out, and we've talked about that on other shows. It's that we want to maybe believe that because it gives us maybe peace of mind. But the reality is that get a plan you're comfortable with, and that's how you'll get real peace of mind around that.
I know that when you listen to Dan Reese and Brent Oliver on this show, you may think, boy, these guys seem like really nice guys. What they say makes sense. I'm going to go ahead and make a phone call and arrange a time to come in and have a visit. Now, what do you have to offer those folks who go ahead and decide to reach out?
Yeah, when you come in to visit with us, Brent or I will sit down with you and we'll go through what we call our discovery process. And the discovery meeting really allows us to get clear, help you get clear on where you are today, where you want to be, and any gaps that are involved. So once we identify those gaps, we can really start putting together recommendations to help you fill those gaps and really have success. And like you've heard us talk about on the show before, the number one thing that we always start with once we identify those gaps is making sure your investment plan is solid. Because as you know, we saw this past week, we can get some pretty big volatility in the markets. And if you don't have a really good investment plan in place, you know, all the other advanced planning things that we talk about so much on the show really don't matter as much. Because if you don't have any money, I mean, obviously, there's nothing to plan for. So we want to make sure those things are addressed. So if you have concerns with that and you want to sit down and go through that discovery process, give us a call and we'll set some time that's convenient for you.
517-759-5027. That is 517-759-5027. Call that number, leave your contact information. A member of the team will get back with you. You can set a time that is convenient for everybody and come in and have a conversation. And everybody's situation is different. There is no cookie cutter solution when it comes to retirement planning. And that's why it's so important to get the specifics, and then Dan and Brent can really help you. 517-759-5027 is your number to call. You're listening to the Retirement Cafe with the guys from Avery Wealth in Jackson, Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. I'm Ron Stutz. We'll have more coming up after this.
We're putting together a financial plan that'll make you sizzle. Now let's get back to the Retirement Cafe.
Welcome back to the Retirement Cafe. Ron Stutz here along with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver, certified financial planners at Avery Wealth, wherever you are in mid-Michigan. This is the show for you if you're thinking about a retirement, particularly if you're in the red zone, the years leading up to your retirement. Very important that you get all the knowledge you can glean from this radio show, but even more important to get the comprehensive guide that they have to offer you at absolutely no cost. Text the word PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888. That is PREP 555-888. And Brent and Dan will send you the most common retirement mistakes and how to avoid them. That's a comprehensive guide. They will mail it to you. It's important to get ready for retirement in the proper fashion. And the team at Avery Wealth wants to help. Just text the word PREP, P-R-E-P, to 555-888, and you'll be on your way. Guys, as you know, we have some incredibly intelligent listeners out there, and we hear from a lot of those folks every week, and it's time now for the mailbag. I have a great question that came in from Michael in Mason. Michael says, I've heard that I should be saving 10% of my income toward retirement. Does that sound accurate? I'm in my 50s, so I need to be sure I'm doing this thing right.
Michael, yeah, Ron, this is a great question, and really, this is at the heart of what we do here. What I would say to you, Michael, is that you're absolutely right. You're in your 50s. You need to make sure you're doing this right. You only get one chance at it. So you know, you're really in a good spot thinking about these types of things. And I wish I could give you a concrete answer, but I can give you some different ideas. What I can tell you is that we see a lot of people in your age range that come in to talk to us, and we're able to help them make some huge strides late in their career towards retirement planning. And so what I will give you is, some of the families, maybe if you're in this spot, maybe you're a little bit behind, I would say that 10% may not be enough. You may have to do significantly more than that to catch up if you're a little bit behind. Other families, let's say that you've been a really good saver and you've been doing this 10% for your whole career. My guess is, if you're in that spot, you probably have a lot of money in pre-tax accounts. So maybe you've been contributing to IRAs or a 401k or a 403b at work. And so what I can tell you is that if you have a lot of money in those pre-tax accounts, you're going to owe tax on that. And so it may be beneficial at this point to start shifting and looking for other ways to save money to give yourself more options. Because what Dan and I have talked about on other episodes is that you want to have money in different, what we would call, buckets. So you want some pre-tax, some after-tax, Roth money, and so on. And what that does for you is it gives you a lot of different options in retirement, because it's nice to be able to take some that's taxable, but keep that lower in certain years and so on. So, and we could help you through all that, but that would be my answer to you, is to kind of, yeah, you might, if you haven't been saving as much over your career, you really probably should ramp up that savings. And if you have been really good at it, it's probably a good idea to have somebody take a look at it and help you figure out what types of accounts you could be funding in the rest of your career. And then on top of that, I think this is a great time for you to start looking at what income you're really going to need in retirement, because that's going to really determine how much money you need to have saved. And so that's something that we're more than happy to help you with if you just give us a call, and we'll go through that with you. But you want to know how much income you're going to need in retirement so that you're sure that you're going to set yourself up to be successful.
Michael, thanks for the question. Great question. And I know certainly that helps, but as Brent just said, you need to come in and have a conversation about that. And we'll give you that number again in just a few minutes here. Got another question here on the mailbag segment of the show from Lucille and Leslie. Lucille says, I make too much money to contribute to an IRA or a Roth. What's the best way for me to save for retirement?
So, Lucille, I'm glad you sent that question. And I'm thinking that possibly you're self-employed. I'm not sure, because, you know, it sounds like maybe you don't have an option for a 401k at work. So I'm gonna throw a couple ideas out if that's the case. And if you are working and maybe, you know, you're already maxed that out, maybe there's some other options there as well. But first of all, if you're self-employed, you've got a lot of great opportunities to save. And a lot of people aren't really understand all these plans that are available. But one of them that's great, especially if you don't have employees or if you have just a spouse as an employee, they have what's called an individual 401k. And we have different clients that use this tool. And what's nice about it is you can actually put the full contribution in that you'd be able to put in if you had a 401k at work. So right now for 2018, that number is $18,500. And if you're over 50, there's a catch-up provision of another $6,000. So you can see that that's a substantial amount of money. And the other nice thing is that you can do that on a pre-tax basis if you're trying to get some pre-tax savings. Or there's also Roth options in certain cases that you can look at as well. And so that's one of the things to consider. There also are things called SEP accounts, SEP IRA accounts for self-employed people. And there's also simple IRAs. So there's a couple other options that you could get some money set aside on a tax-favored basis if you're looking for that, and really help yourself save for retirement. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit, and let's say that maybe you're in a case where you're maxing your 401k and you're looking for other ways to save. You know, we have a lot of clients that are in that situation where they want to save to their Roth and things, but they can't because, like you just said, they make too much money. Well, there is a little trick you can do where you can actually, anyone can fund a non-deductible IRA. All that means is that instead of getting a tax deduction for that year, you just don't. So you put that money in, it's in an IRA, but there's no tax deduction. So you have what's called basis inside of that plan. And what you can do after that contribution is you can immediately convert that to a Roth IRA. Now, this gets complicated. Don't go running out and doing this stuff. You need to have tax advice and everything else, but I just want to give you a concept that's out there. But with that, with the automatic conversion, oftentimes you can do that with no tax liability because the money you put in, you didn't deduct. So you already paid taxes on that. So some people call that like a backdoor Roth IRA or some different things like that. But it is a way to possibly get some money into that Roth account when you hit the income limits where you normally wouldn't be able to contribute to those types of accounts.
Certainly something to think about. We have one more question here today from Oscar in Jackson. And Oscar says his financial advisor is older than he is and wants to know if he should move to someone else who's not going to retire before he does. What do you think?
Oscar, you're trying to make a preemptive move there in case they retire? I would tell you, Oscar, number one, we find that it's one of the things that's so important with a client-advisor relationship is that it's a really good fit. And so the number one thing, if you have found somebody that's a good fit, that's really bringing substantial value to you. So when I say substantial value, not just investments, but also all the advanced planning issues that we talk about so often, things like mitigating taxes and making sure you have a good wealth transfer plan to get those assets to your kids, you know, an asset protection plan as well as a plan for charitable giving. If they're doing all those things for you and really providing substantial value, I don't think it was necessarily a great idea to move advisors just because of their age. What you might do, if it could give you some peace of mind, is sit down with him or her and have a conversation about, hey, what are your plans? How long do you plan on being an advisor? Do you have a transition plan in place where maybe, you know, someone that's qualified might take over your clients if you decide that you want to retire at a certain point? And really just spend some time talking about those things. I think so often we get worked up with ideas, oh, they might retire and where am I going to be? When really, if you just spent some time with a conversation, it might give you a lot of peace of mind. If you find you're not getting that value at that point in time, you know, we recommend that's when it's good to get some second opinions. And we have a second opinion service that we offer to go through and really help you identify the things that are important to you and whether you're getting the services that you really deserve for the money you're spending on an advisor. So I hope that helps, Oscar. But keep in mind, don't let somebody go just because they're a little older than you, because that may not be a great choice.
Hey, Oscar, let me also point out that Dan and Brent are relatively young, and they're not going to retire anytime soon. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to give you the number in just a moment here. But Dan, Brent, what happens when folks reach out to you with a phone call?
Well, first of all, you know, a lot of people reach out just with questions, and it's pretty simple. You just want to get clarity on a concept that maybe we talked about on the show. And that's great. Just give us a call. You know, you leave a message with a good number to call you back at, and Brent or I will reach out, make sure you get that question answered. Because the one thing that we want for everyone out there listening to the show is we want to make sure that you're understanding the things that we're talking about. And if they don't quite make sense, we want to make sure you have a chance to get that cleared up. And for those families that have been good savers, you're getting into a position where you really want to make sure you're taking care of everything you've worked so hard for, you know, give us a call and we'll go through that discovery process we talked about earlier. And really the point of that discovery process is to really learn where you are today, where you want to be, and any gaps that are involved. And oftentimes the initial gaps we identify involve your investment plan. So that's a starting point to really make sure that those things are taken care of. And then the next gaps we get into are things like your tax plan and your wealth transfer plan and things of that nature, and to make sure that you're addressing all those things. So we want you to have success, and the way to do that is to go through a really set process that makes sure that you're addressing all those big needs that you have.
Okay, the number to call if you'd like to get in touch with Avery Wealth is 517-759-5027. Maybe you got some good answers to your questions on today's show, and maybe you have other questions you'd like to have addressed. 517-759-5027 will allow you to do that. You can come in and sit down and just have a casual conversation. There's no high pressure involved and no obligation at all. It's not going to cost you anything. 517-759-5027 is your number to call to make it happen. Dan Reese and Brent Oliver are your certified financial planners in Jackson at Avery Wealth, and we want you to get in touch so that you can plan for retirement and do it in the proper way. And that's what this radio show is all about. Guys, it's been fun being on the radio with you today.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you, too.
Yeah, thank you, Ron.
Join us again next week for the next edition of the Retirement Cafe.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.